Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, surprising you with new topics every single week and jabbing you with your daily dose of UFC. And we are back with all UFC stuff today. So much UFC going down on this episode. I have been packing, and it was my dad's birthday today. We had a very nice steak dinner at this restaurant in White Bear, Minnesota. Very good. I've been packing to move to college. Of course, if anyone knows, it's my senior year. And I had a lot planned for this episode, and as of recording this, I work tomorrow morning. I'll be up going to the gym before work, and I do have to get at least around 6 hours of sleep. So I did have to trim out some stuff I was planning to talk about in this episode. But on the next episode, we're going to be doing a review of the movie Creed. Hopefully, I'll have watched Creed 2 and 3 by then. Also, doing fantasy football. Of course, it's NFL season. We're going to be talking a lot about fantasy football. I had a lot of stuff to talk about on today's episode. We're going to have to do that on next week's episode, as well as another verdict Q&A. But on today's episode, we will, of course, be dropping our UFC 305 predictions, which is the whole reason I'm forcing myself to record this podcast. As well, we'll be reviewing, actually more like recapping, the first episode, the first installment of Season 8 of Dana White's Contender Series, as well, new UFC news, and discussing film with top 10 new things in pop culture. So very weird things where I recently watched Creed and now there's something to do with Carl Weathers. You'll have to stay tuned for that. But strap in, get going, because we got the locks for UFC 305. But first off, guys, we have some new UFC news. The UFC has, for some reason, decided to just drop some absolute bombs on us as of the last freaking day or two. And the big ones. The Apex is going under construction, and the final Apex event, UFC Vegas 100, will be taking place in early November, meaning for the next year, I believe, we get full in-crowd events, which I'm absolutely stoked about. I'm so excited for all of that. They released a couple locations they're actually going to. First off, we're going to get to some fights about this. November 2nd, the UFC will be returning to Edmonton. Okay, the UFC will be returning to Edmonton. They released some fights for that. We're going to be getting to that in just a moment. Also, they are going to Macau, M-A-C-A-U, at the Galaxy Arena in China. So you can expect a lot of banger fights on that card. Zhang Mingyang, Song Yedong, pretty much any Asian fighter. Tetsuya Taira could be the main event there. I don't know. Exciting stuff. That'll be November 23rd. Exciting stuff there. They also announced, released the UFC Noche, UFC 306 poster, which looks absolutely amazing. You got Sean O'Malley, Rob Dovizioso, Alexa Grasso, Valentina Shevchenko. It looks banger. They're dropping new fight kits and everything. It's looking to be good. But in terms of new fights that have been announced, most recently, UFC Vegas 98 going down October 12th, a heavyweight fight between the 12-1, 5-1, the UFC, Waldo Cortez Acosta, who is one of the better unranked heavyweights. I wouldn't say anything glamorous. He only has one KO, which, you know, you'd like to see much more than that. But, you know, from the Dominican Republic, wins over Robles Despange, Andre Arlovski, and Lucas Brazier. He's all right. But he takes on the ever-entertaining, the, you know, I compare him to a professional wrestler who's a bigger boy. I'm talking like heavyweight size, pushing 300, and he's doing backflips off the top rope. That's Chris Barnett, all right? And Chris is 2-2 in the UFC, wins over Gian Viante and Jake Collier, also holds a win over Walt Harris on the independent scene, 23-8 professional record. This should be an exciting fight, and one of those where I hope it actually outshines the fact that it's at the UFC Apex, but we will have to see. I'll tell you what we won't have to see on, folks, and that is the UFC Edmonton main event, of course, going down in Alberta, Canada, November 2nd, and we are not treated to an absolute banger. Do they have Mike Mallett? No. Do they have Jasmine Jasu Davicious? No. Chad Hillinger? Gosh, I don't even know some of these Canadian fighters. But we get the number 3 ranked women's flyweight, Erin Blanchfield, and the number 5 ranked women's flyweight, Thug Rose Namajunas. Yeah. Yeah, it's brutal. Yeah, we keep thinking that Thug Rose delivers on main events so far. Brutal main event so far since her return. I'm questioning everything as I see this main event. And we'll have a crowd. That's the only benefit I can find. The co-main event. This is going to be a hit or miss. Heavyweight division, the number 11 ranked heavyweight, Derek the Black Beast Lewis, the most KOs in UFC history, takes on the number 13th ranked, 17-3, Alexander Romanov. Alexander Romanov, of those 17 wins, I mean, good amount of finishes. I think he has like 12. I mean, as of late, losses to Halton Almeida, lost to Alexander Volkov, lost to Marcin Tybura. not the best, 1-3 in his last four. And as he takes on Derek Lewis, I mean, Derek Lewis, knockout king, absolute legend. You know, you're either going to see Romanoff take him down, submit him, or Derek Lewis is going to get a knockout. There is quite literally no in-between. Also announced for that November 2nd card, I'll speak of the devil, the number 13th ranked Ariana Da Silva takes on the number 14th ranked Jasmine Jasu Devicius. And Jasmine Jasu Devicius is an absolute killer from Canada. Super excited to see her back. Yeah, you know, Canada versus Brazil. I mean, what more could you want? Ariana Da Silva, also very entertaining. I like that fight. Also announced for that card, Marc-Andre Powerbar Bauriut, his nickname, fellow Canadian, will take on Dustin Sulfus from Germany. Fun stuff, Dustin Sulfus actually holds a win over Joe Pfeiffer, but that was by injury. Marc-Andre Bauriut holds a win over Eric Anders. I guess this is his biggest win. That's a fun one at middleweight. Marc Bauriut, I'd say, it's tough to say, you know, I've seen him lose on the feet, win on the feet. Dustin Sulfus, more than not, is winning on the ground, is how I would view that. And son of a gun, I did not even plan this, guys. Chad Hanhelliger also fighting on that card. He'll be taking on Cody Gibson. Cody Gibson, runner-up of The Ultimate Fighter season 31, it might have been 31 or 32, one of those. 20-10 record for Cody Gibson. He's from the United States somewhere. Holds win over John Dodson. Chad Hanhelliger, you know, beats Brady Hystan, former Ultimate Fighter winner. 12-7 record. This is make it break it for him. And the final new fight, we have officially announced Ryan Loader versus Robert Valentine will be the middleweight finale from The Ultimate Fighter season 32. I've barely checked it, but Ryan Loader 8-1. Don't really know who he's beaten, no one really notable. And Robzilla Valentine 10-3 from Switzerland. Oh, fun stuff there. We'll have to see how those guys perform in The Ultimate Fighter finale. All I know is that no one's really been tuning in for The Ultimate Fighter season 32. I'm sorry, Alexa Grasso and Valentina Shevchenko are just not bringing in eyes. And the final new thing we have for new UFC news is that Dana White recently announced that Conor McGregor will not be fighting this year. Michael Chandler then went on, I don't know if it was Instagram today or Twitter or a show, and basically said Dana White is lying. This is blatantly how he kind of put it, not directly, but said that. And then Conor McGregor said, what are you talking about? We're fighting in December. UFC, give me this fight. The fans want it. UFC wants it. Let's do it. It's just an absolute mess. At this point, I really don't want Conor McGregor versus Michael Chandler because it's just going to lead to a whole saga of things. I mean, we already lost the UFC 303 main events. I don't want to go through any more of it. So I'm happy to move on with that. Michael Chandler, there are options at lightweight. I mean, how about we run back Oliveira versus Michael Chandler? That's a perfect fight. Michael Chandler, go up to welterweight. Fight freaking, what's his face? Colby Covington. There's a lot of options for you. This is just getting ridiculous at this point. I'll tell you what is not ridiculous, though, and that is the Contender Series, as Dana White's Contender Series returned with the first episode of Season 8, 5 new fights coming at you every Tuesday at 6 o'clock Central Time, and we handed out 4 new contracts, and I was able to catch all the fights, and I agreed on 3 of them. 3 of them are pretty good. Let's run through them. I'm thinking from this point on, we might cover them, drop our predictions as we did last season. It's just been kind of tough with my work schedule as I don't have much free time. We kicked off with a little flyweight action, and Lorne Kavanaugh knocked out Ann Tuho in 2 minutes 25 seconds. You just knew he was getting the contract. He's 7-0, all finishes. Dude absolutely put his lights out. The knockout of the night. I am so excited to see Lorne Kavanaugh in the UFC, and especially a flyweight division that is in desperate need of someone. There is no clear-cut amazing guy to rise up the rankings. It's the Alexander Pantoja show. I'm hearing news he might fight the former Rizin bantamweight champion, or it might have been flyweight champion, Kai Asakura. Yeah, I don't know if there's any legitimacy to that, but that would be amazing. But here we go. Lorne Kavanaugh catches him with a beautiful hook, knocks Antuho out cold, doesn't even follow up. I mean, dirty way to start the evening. You already know he got a contract. After that, went up to the men's featherweight division, and Jose Delgado dominated Ernie Juarez. Jose Delgado, 8-1 professional record now. Ernie, the young titan Juarez, losing his first professional bout. But I mean, Ernie, you know, it's tough. It's tough to take on a guy. Jose Delgado, just so motivated. 26 years young. And hitting him with a little knee to the gut in round two. Put him out. He took him down 3 or 4 times in round one. Right around 2 minutes of control time. Totals for the fight, 40 significant strikes to 27. You know, Jose Delgado looked good in this one. It's tough to say how he'll do in the UFC, but certainly when you're coming with a finish off the Contender Series, you're doing pretty good. After that, things got kind of messy. Light heavyweight division, Bruno Lopez took on Mikel Szazhanian, S-A-Z-H-I-N-I-A-N-I, Szazhanian. I don't really want to be mispronouncing your name here, but this one's kind of awkward. Round one, Mikel almost knocks out Bruno Lopez, drops Bruno, thought the fight was over, tried to follow him up, but didn't do much. Also went 0-6 on takedowns this whole fight. Round two comes around, and Bruno Lopez is just landing shots on him. And finally, standing TKO, doctor steps in. I mean, Bruno was landing some killer shots on Mikel, but he just kind of got the vibe that this guy's not going to make it in the UFC. And it's nothing personal, you know, he's 33 years old. He actually had been knocked out by Brenson Ribeiro in the last season, and Brenson Ribeiro has notoriously one of the worst runs off of the Contender Series in the UFC. So Bruno Lopez gets the contract because he got finished. Even Dana White was questioning why he was doing it. He couldn't even justify it. But welcome to the UFC. I'm sure you're going to get finished by some mid-level light heavyweight in round number two, probably by a TKO. But hey, good win for him. Mikel Szazhanian, you choked this one. Should have finished him in round one. Then got to the co-main event, welterweight fight, and this one went the distance, and Dana White does not like mid-level fights that go the distance, much less when Ding Mang, the assassin, who's 34-9, almost beats, I mean, he pushed the young buck, Rami Hamed, to the limit. And Rami Hamed, he's not that young, actually, as I check his age, 33 years old. You know, totals from the fight, 58-51, Rami Hamed, you know, the younger fighter, the less experienced, I will say. More significant strikes, more total strikes to Ding Mang, 74-63. Ding Mang went 1-2 on takedowns, and I mean, at the end of the day, Rami won round one, Ding won round two, Rami won round three. Okay, that's the process of it. Dana White was not impressed, you know, he's like, hey, you're 33 years old, I want to see you be a killer. When you're getting regular decision wins, you're not going to get it. So, tough stuff for both of them, but the fact they had Ding Mang on here, who has over 40 professional fights, and this is the Contender Series, yeah, probably should have skipped out on this guy. But, thankfully, we ended the night with a bang, as the most exciting fight of the night was our main event in the middleweight division, as Mansoor Abdul-Malik TKO'd Wes Schultz with some ground and pound in round number two. And these two are all over the place. Wes Schultz goes 2-8 on takedowns. He was going absolutely ballistic. He was throwing crazy kicks, crazy punches. These two went to war. It was sloppy. It was fun. I enjoyed it. And Mansoor got the TKO in round number two. And landing some brutal elbows. And I mean, Wes had just gassed himself out. You know, I'd almost compare it to when you just throw everything you got and finally, when, you know, you get exhausted, you're just like, ah, this is it. Nighty-night. But the 24-year-old Mansoor Abdul-Malik, very, very impressive stuff. 6-0, perfect right now, kicking off with a bang. So, yeah, four contracts, four finishes. Not much more you can ask for from the first episode of Dana's Contender Series. It's looking like it's going to be a good season. I'm excited for it. Mansoor definitely deserved a contract. You know, these middleweights, it's easy to climb the middleweight rankings, okay? You know, and obviously it's always not easy to climb the rankings, but I consider it somewhat open. Jose Delgado at featherweight, kind of tough to break in, but once you can kind of break into that bottom 15, you're kind of locked in. Bruno Lopez, don't see him hanging around long, but Lonair Kavanaugh, I know he's only 6-7-0, but the round one knockout, best moment of the night. Super exciting stuff for Dana White's Contender Series, and we love exciting stuff here, okay? I'll never forget, I don't know if it was the last season, I think it was the one before, when Joe Pyfer was the only one who showed up to fight, and Dana White was pissed, and that's when Beat Joe Pyfer was born. You really got to impress the boss. Our co-main event for this episode, of course, top 10 new things in pop culture. It sucks I can't cover everything I wanted to cover, but you gotta know your body, guys. I can barely breathe through my nose. I'm tasting mucus in my throat. Let's see what's going on in pop culture. First off, as I mentioned earlier, something to do with Creed. Carl Weathers is getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame next week. Amazing roles in The Predator, in Happy Gilmore, most notably Apollo Creed, one of the greatest fictional characters ever written, ever created. Absolute legend. So happy Carl Weathers is going to be getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And I'm definitely going to rewatch the Rocky movies. Apparently there's five. they kind of go from best to worst. And there's also a Rocky Balboa movie. And I just watched Creed, and it was absolutely amazing. And now I want to see some Carl Weathers as Apollo Creed. But happy to see him getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Number two, the final season of You has wrapped filming, starring Joe Greenberg. I can't remember. Was it Pat something? I can't remember the main actor's name, but You, such a good show where you actually root for the villain. It's such a weird show where you sympathize with the villain, root for the villain. He's just this evil serial killer at the end of the day, and he always gets away with it, but I doubt Joe is getting away with it to end the season, or series, I should say. I'm excited for it. I'll never forget what I first watched. I binged the first two seasons before season three came out because it was so good, and then season four was amazing. I think this might be season five, but just amazing stuff from this show. It really keeps you engaged, keeps you guessing. I'm excited to see what they bring to the table. John Cena stars in a viral CGI marketing for his new movie Jackpot at the Hollywood Sign, is now streaming on Prime Video. Yeah, John Cena is in this new movie where this woman wins the lottery, and John Cena essentially trying to like right wrongs of his past or something, agrees to protect her from everyone trying to like kill her or something. It's a very weird plot. I might check it out. John Cena is kind of losing credibility in the Hollywood world. I think Dave Bautista's passed him when it comes to a credible actor, but he is certainly more funny than The Rock and Dave Bautista. I'd say The Rock, most popular. Bautista cares more about his character, and John Cena is just, he's John Cena Israel. So, you know, Dave Bautista has surpassed that. John Cena is like The Rock. It's just John Cena as this weird guy. All right, it's The Rock as that guy. Number three, Nicolas Cage has been cast as John Madden in David O. Russell's Madden movie. The film will be part biopic, part making of the game. Yeah, Nicolas Cage is John Madden. I'm so sorry. Just can't take Nicolas Cage seriously. I just can't. He's not a serious actor to me. He's kind of a meme now. I mean, when I think of Nicolas Cage, I for some reason think of Nickelback. I don't even know why, but he's almost a meme to me. Number five, Longlegs has passed 90 million worldwide. The film had a budget of under 10 million, a success. I can't wait till this comes on streaming. I am so checking it out. I've heard it's a success. It's, you know what, it's gotten great reviews too. And I've checked it out, and it stars none other than Nicolas Cage as the bad guy. Number six, Alien Romulus debuts with a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. Apparently is one of the best, if not the best, Alien movie so far. But I have no interest in it. I had somewhat interest, and I went and rewatched every single Alien movie. Yeah, the Alien movies are so overrated. They're so dumb. I guess the aliens are menacing, but the 80s ones aren't really scary. The newer ones tried to go too much into the lore, and I don't even want to talk about the Predator crossovers. Number seven, Outer Banks Season 4 releases on Netflix this fall. Gonna be honest, and you know, this is just me. Not too interested. You know, I was kind of underwhelmed for some reason by how Season 3 ended, and the story now is they're going after Davy Jones's missing ship, or Blackbeard. I think it's Blackbeard's missing treasure. I don't know. The plot has just gotten out of control. Season 1, amazing. Season 2, amazing. Season 3 just went all over the place. I don't need a Season 4, if I'm being honest. Number 8, the legendary director, one of the greats, Ridley Scott, has announced his four favorite films. Number 1, 2001, A Space Odyssey. Haven't gotten around to seeing that. I started it, but it was a super long intro. Star Wars, A New Hope. He said after he watched that, he sat down and had to reassess how he was going to direct Alien. Like, it completely changed his views. Number 3, Blade Runner, the OG one starring Harrison Ford, and Quest for Fire, which I've never heard of. But hey, I like his taste. When he's saying movies that are like sci-fi, like, you know, dystopian future, I love those things. And I mean, Ridley Scott, he mentioned that he was depressed after watching Star Wars because it was so good. Because he's working on a movie, he's like, it's just not as good. And he went and made Alien after watching Star Wars. So you might be able to see a little bit of Star Wars in Alien now if you look for it, because Ridley Scott was so intrigued by that. Number 9, 5 individuals have been arrested amid a drug investigation into the tragic passing of Matthew Perry. The arrest includes 2 doctors, Matthew Perry's assistant, and a drug supply source known as the Ketamine Queen, who all took advantage of the actor to sell him ketamine. That's wild. That is absolutely wild. Wow, I'm actually reading that right. If anyone can hear, Scout is guest starring on the podcast as he barks at what can I only assume is deer or rabbits in the yard. So apologies if you hear that. But yeah, the death of Matthew Perry, Friends star, super sad. It's crazy that there now are being arrests made due to his drug dose. Wow, I don't even know what to say to that. I hope those people are brought to justice. I don't know the whole extent of the allegations, but we'll have to keep that on our radar. Number 10, the final one, actually. The first look at Caleb McLan in the final season of Stranger Things has released. He's looking hip. He's looking square. They're trying to make these kids not look like they have hit puberty when they have so badly hit puberty and are just in desperate need of, I don't even know. I believe in the final season of Stranger Things, you're going to see them age forward just for the simple fact that from season 1 to season 4, they've only got up, I think, like 4 years in age in the show. And in real life, it's been like 8 years. They've gone from like 10 to 18, actually more like 13 to 21. So I'm excited for it. That's going to be absolutely massive. I think it comes out next December, so 2025. So we're going to be getting a little GTA 6 and Stranger Things 5. Exciting stuff in pop culture. Thank you so much. But now, guys, we get to our main event of this episode. I wish we could talk about more, but I can barely breathe. I'm absolutely losing my mind. And we have to drop our UFC 305 predictions. This is the whole reason I did this. I was just going to do 305 predictions. Then I'm like, I kind of need some substance beforehand. So we've gone through our intro. We've gone through our new UFC news. We've gone over the Contender Series. We've gone over pop culture. There's only one thing to go over, and that's the biggest bash of the summer in Perth, Australia. UFC 305, your official predictions, starts now. Kicking off this 12-fight card, which might I add, the UFC outdid themselves with Australian fighters and just talent on this. It could have been better, but, you know, interesting circumstances with Robert Whitaker and Sean Strickland, the issues with Jack Del Maddalena getting injured. There's a lot of stuff with this card, but I'm thankful for what we got, and I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to complain about getting somewhat good fights. So, kicking off the night, we head to the UFC flyweight division. The smallest men's division kicks off the night as Stuart Kakamura Nicole takes on Jesus Aguilera. Stuart Nicole, 8-0, undefeated, making his UFC debut, takes on the 10-2 Jesus Aguilera. 5'4-5'5 gives Stuart 1 inch in height. He also has 3 inches in reach, 65 inches to 62. Both men stand in that orthodox fighting position. The underdog is Jesus Aguilera at +1. 185, the favorite, Stuart Nicole at -225. Wow, -225 for Nicole, +185 for Jesus Aguilera. Stuart Nicole making his debut. The 29-year-old is from Queensland, Australia. Of those 8 wins, 4 KOs and 3 submissions. And his last 4 fights have ended in KO victories. Wow. Impressive stuff. Don't know too much about the kid. He looks talented. He looks good. And he's in his home nation of Australia. What more could you ask for? His opponent, the underdog, Jesus Aguilera, 28 years old, from Mexico. You know, 2-5 winning streak, pretty good. Only loss in the UFC so far is to Tatsuro Taira. Of his 10 wins, he has 1 KO and 6 submissions. His 2 losses have both been by submission in round 1. One on Dana White's Contender Series in 2022. Actually knocked out Shannon Ross in July of 2023 in 17 seconds. Most recently fought in February and took Matheus Mendonca to a split decision. I mean, I love undefeated prospects fighting in their home country with a 90% finish rate. I'm going with Stuart Nicole. I mean, he's the -225 favorite for a reason. But Jesus Aguilera, he's knocked out Shannon Ross in 17 seconds. He's riding some momentum. You know, clearly with a loss to Tetsuro Taira, you have to be pretty dang good to beat this guy. But at the same time, he doesn't do too much special. You know, he can grapple if he wants to. Appears to be more of a striker, power striker, if you will. Stuart Nicole, we just don't have much footage on him, but we're going to ride with him. Undefeated favorite, home nation of Australia. That's all the evidence that I need. After that, we head to the men's welterweight division as Keenan Song Keenan, the assassin, is back in action. Love this guy. So he takes on Ricky the Gladiator Glenn, the -230 favorite Song, the +190 underdog, Ricky Glenn. 20-8 is Song Keenan. 22-8-2 is Ricky Glenn. Yeah, both of these guys, around 30 professional fights. Incredible. Both men are 6 foot, 71 inch reach to 70 for Song Keenan. Orthodox stands for Keenan. Southpaw for Ricky Glenn. The assassin versus the gladiator. This is going to be a battle. Song Keenan, the 34-year-old from China. I mean, hey, Song Keenan, can you get a quick knockout and can we get you on that Macau card? I would love to see you fight in your home nation or home country. I should say nation country. same thing. 9 KOs, 9 submissions. It's 18 of his 20 wins are by finish. I mean, come on, what more could you ask for? Of his 8 losses, he's been knocked out 4 times. He is 1-3 in his last 4, not the prettiest, you know. It's been an interesting run, 5-4 overall for Song Kinong in the UFC. Wins over Hector Aldana and Rolando Bedoya, probably the highlights. Well, she's only fought in December and lost to Kevin Josette by unanimous decision. Also got finished in round 3 by Yin Machao Gary and round 1 by Max Griffin. But Song Kinong, you know, he does have the age advantage over the 35-year-old Ricky Glenn. Ricky Glenn, 35 years old, from the sweet neighboring state of my home state in the United States, Wisconsin. This boy's from Wisconsin. 16 finishes in his career, 11 KOs and 5 submissions for Ricky Glenn. His losses, he's been KO'd twice and he's been submitted twice. So, you know, Ricky, it's tough to say. And, you know, of those 2 KO losses, they've both been his last 2 fights. The chin might be gone. All right, the chin might be gone. I mean, nonetheless, 16 of 22 wins, impressive. Half his losses, he's been finished. 2 fight losing streak, knocked out in under 3 minutes in both of those. Not the prettiest. Best win in the UFC, probably Gavin Tucker, 2017. Yeah. Song Kinong by knockout. Inject it into my veins. He'll make a turnaround. He'll go to Macau. Soon you'll have Song Kinong as the welterweight champion. Imagine that. After that, we go to our biggest favorite on the card as the -1100 favorite, Tom Nolan. Big Train Tom Nolan takes on the +700 underdog, Alex Reyes, 13-4. Wow, Tom Nolan, 7-1. This is incredible. This is where you make your money. This is where you turn $100 into $700 here, guys. All right, 6'3 to 5'11. Tom has some height. Both men, 73-inch reach. Southpaws, Tom Nolan, orthodox for Alex Reyes. This is tricky. Okay, this is tricky. Okay, let's go through the stats. Tom Nolan, 24 years young, born in 2000, from Queensland, Australia. Of those 7 wins, 5 KOs. All right, but here's the thing. Tom Nolan, Dana White's Contender Series, impressive debut. Tom Nolan looked really good on Dana White's Contender Series. Then, you know, joins the UFC, gets starched by Nicholas Motto, one of the biggest. I don't really want to say bums. He's not a bum, but he certainly isn't good. Knocked out by Manuel Torres and knocked out by Jim Miller. And just starts him. Absolutely starches Tom Nolan. Tom Nolan comes back, last fought in May. Almost gets knocked out by Victor Martinez. Thankfully, Victor got in a clinch, got kneed relentlessly to the gut. And Tom Nolan got the win. Okay, this -1100 favorite is not that justified. Okay, but at the same time, he's taking on the 37-year-old Alex Reyes from California. 100% finish rate. Might add, 9 KOs, 4 submissions of his 13 wins. Of his 4 losses, KO'd 3 times. KO'd 3 times, most recently last September, when Alex Reyes was KO'd by Charlie Campbell. That was actually an entertaining fight. Charlie Campbell looked dominant in that. His only other previous UFC fight, he was KO'd by Mike Perry in 2017, so I mean, I guess that 1100 favorite is warranted. There's just no way I am picking against a -1100 guy. And Alex Reyes, I don't know how he's still in the UFC. I guess this is to build up Tom Nolan. But Tom, you're in Australia. We always love to ride with hometown boys. Don't let us down. Get it done, Tom. If you lose, biggest upset in UFC history. Going back down to the featherweight division, as Jack Jenkins will be taking on Herbert Burns. That's right, the younger brother of legendary welterweight Gilbert Burns. Jack Jenkins was supposed to fight Gavin Tucker. Gavin, unfortunately, getting hurt in steps. Herbert the Blaze Burns. Jack Farr Jenkins, 12-3. Herbert the Blaze Burns, 11-5. 5'7 to 5'9 gives Herbert 2 inches in height, and he has a notable 5 inches in reach. 73 to 68. Switch stance for Jack, orthodox for Herbert the Gerbert Burns. Let's start with Herbert Burns. And by the way, Herbert Burns, +410 underdog, the -550 favorite is Jack Jenkins. Herbert Burns, 3 fight losing streak. Finished in all of them, all by knockout. Yeah, it ain't been pretty for Herbert. 36 years old, born in Brazil, now lives and trains in Singapore. Of his 11 wins, 1 KO, 8 submissions, very impressive. Of his 5 losses, KO'd 3 times, both of his last fights. You know, he came in 2020, beat Nate Landwehr in round 1, beat Evan Dunham in round 1. then knocked out by Daniel Pineda. Injury TKO loss to Bill Algeo. Julio Arce knocked him out cold in round two. I mean, gosh, Herbert Burns is in the decline. And he takes on the rising man, the 31-year-old from Victoria, Australia, different province, with 5 KOs and 3 subs of his 12 wins, Jack Jenkins. Of his 3 losses, he's been finished in all of them. This guy, absolute dog. Absolute dog. I've seen all 3 of his UFC fights. Took on Don Chance, almost broke his leg. Took on Jamal Emmers. Think he might have lost that fight, won by split decision. Then took on Chepe Mariscal. But as we know, Chepe Mariscal is so goated. Jack Jenkins was actually winning on the feet, but sadly got hurt in round number 2. Jack Jenkins is going to bring the pressure. I would not be surprised if we get a leg kick TKO here from Jack Jenkins. If I would bet some money that Jack Jenkins gets a leg kick TKO. That's his specialty. He throws kicks for days, and Herbert Burns just doesn't. He looks awkward in the ring, all right? Nowhere as good as the former contender for the welterweight championship, his older brother, Gilbert Burns. After that, we head to the women's flyweight division. Are these ladies still ranked? I don't believe so. No rankings for these women. As Casey King O'Neill takes on Luiana Santos. They used to be ranked, but I think they're coming off some losses. Casey O'Neill, 9-2. Luiana Santos, 8-1. Both women are 5-6. 69 inch reach to 67 in favor of Casey O'Neill. Both women stand in the orthodox fighting position. And I've been seeing we've been riding with all of the favorites. This might change here. I don't know. Casey O'Neill, the plus 125 underdog. Luiana Santos, the minus 150 favorite. It's tough. It's tough. Let's start with the hometown girl, Casey O'Neill, 26 years old, from Queensland, Australia. Actually, it was born in Scotland. Bears the Scotland flag sometimes. Of her 9 wins, 3 KOs, and 2 submissions. Started her career off a perfect 9-0. Finishes of Shayna Dobson, Laura Parcicio, Antonio Shevchenko. Beat Roxanne Modafferi in a retirement fight. Then, March 2023 and December, suffered losses to Jennifer Maya on the feet. Ariana Da Silva on the ground got armbarred. I mean, it was just shocking, her decline. Casey O'Neill, in desperate need of a win, needs to channel that 2022-2021 time era. I don't know what's going on with her. She takes on the favorite, Luiana Santos, 24 years old. One of the youngest fighters on this card, from Sao Paulo, Brazil. Of her 8 wins, she has 1 KO and 4 submissions. Currently riding a 5-fight win streak. 3-0 so far in the UFC. Debuted in August 2023. Last fought in July of this year. Wow. Quick turnaround. She got a round 1 submission there. Got a round 1 TKO in August. Also beat Stephanie Egger in December. I mean, look. Casey O'Neill, very talented. She's fighting in front of her home crowd. You don't really bounce back when you're taking rough losses like that. Luiana Santos is too appetizing not to dabble with. Give me Luiana Santos. Plus, she looks better than Casey O'Neill. No offense, ladies. You know, I'm unbiased. I have a girlfriend. I'm just saying, Luiana Santos, you know, if I had to choose who would I rather have date my friend, I would probably choose Luiana Santos. That's just me. That's just me. After that, we head to the men's featherweight division as Josh Culiabo is back in action as he takes on Ricardo Ramos, the return. Both of these featherweights, they could use a big win here to catapult them up the rankings, potentially. Josh Culiabo takes on Ricardo Ramos. 11-3-1 for Josh Culiabo, 16-6 for Ricardo Ramos. 5'10-5'9 gives Josh an inch in height. He also has an inch in reach, 73-72. Both men are in the, of course, orthodox fighting position. Josh Culiabo, the Australian man, minus 170 favorite. Ricardo Ramos, plus 145. Josh Culiabo, 30 years old, from New South Wales, Australia. Of his 11 wins, 5 KOs and 1 submission. Of his 3 losses, he's only ever been finished once. And was on an incredible run. So far in the UFC, has lost to Jalen Turner in 2020. Took Charles Jourdain to a draw. Beat Sungwoo Choi in 2022. Submitted Melsik Bigdisarian in February of 2023. Most recently, fought in March of 2024. Lost to Danny Silva, also got dominated by Lerone Murphy in July of last year. 2-fight losing streak. Don't really know the direction Josh Culiabo is going to go in here. He is the favorite, and he takes on again Ricardo Ramos. This is a great position for Culiabo to rebound. You know, Ricardo Ramos, 29 years old, from Sao Paulo, Brazil, 16 wins, 11 finishes, 4 KOs, 7 subs. Of his 6 losses, 2 KOs and 3 subs. So he's been finished in almost every fight he's been. The only man to not finish him and beat him is Zubara Tuagov, oddly one of Khabib's trading partners. And when we look at the guys who have beaten this man, Saeed Nurmagomedov on the verge of the top 15, Lerone Murphy in the top 15 of featherweight, Zubrata Tokiwov bouncing out of the bottom 15, needs a fight. Charles Jourdain, notable guy in the division. Julian Arosa, submission expert. It's tough. It's tough to pick against Ricardo Ramos. But mind you, Ricardo Ramos has multiple spinning back fists, spinning back elbows, I should say, knockouts. Wins over Kang Ho Kang, Bill Algeo. You know, this is tough. These guys can both grapple when they need to. Obviously, I've seen the last time out, Ricardo Ramos grappled both his opponents, and it backfired. Kuliabao, you know, only one submission, so that's not really his area of expertise. He's actually been out grappled his last two fights. So to spice it up, we haven't picked an underdog yet. Plus 145, Ricardo Ramos. These two are in such eerily similar positions. I'm going to ride with Ricardo Ramos. It's do or die for both these guys. I think it's very much more do or die for, Ricardo Ramos, the guy I picked. So fight like you mean it. With that, we get to our final prelim of the night, and it's in the heavyweight division. Absolutely love it. It's unranked heavyweight action. What could possibly go wrong? Definitely not a boring three-round decision. No. And this is a brother's battle as Junior Taffa, the older, younger brother, my bad, of Justin Taffa, takes on the younger brother of Johnny Walker, light heavyweight legend of Walter Walker. Junior, the juggernaut Taffa, Walter, the clean monster Walker. 5-2 for Junior, 11-1 for Walker. 6-6 to 6-3 in favor of Walter Walker. 78 inches in reach to 75 in favor of Walter Walker. Both men are in the orthodox fighting position. Dang. Okay, Walter's got some size on him. We'll give him that, but Junior Taffa, he's got heart. By the way, odds, minus 110 for both guys. This is dead even as it comes on the odds. Junior Taffa, 27 years old from Queensland, Australia. Of his victories, five victories, five KOs. Simple as that. Five victories, five KOs. We don't need to do anything special here. Junior Taffa is trying to knock you out, okay? 1-2 in the UFC. Losses are to Muhammad Usman, okay, who took him down twice and held him the whole fight on the wall. And Marco Sergio de Lima, who his brother was supposed to fight, who he took on short notice. It was just inexperience for this. But Junior Taffa, his knockout of Parker Porter in Singapore in August of last year was legendary. It lit the whole place on fire. Got performance bonus for it. Channel that energy, Junior. Learn that you got to defend leg kicks like you did your last fight against Marco Sergio de Lima and bounce back. Now he takes on a guy who is coming to grapple. Okay, Walter Walker, 26 years old, born in Brazil, now lives and trains in Moscow, 11 wins, 6 KOs, and 1 sub. But his debut against Lucas Brzezic, a guy who is not even the best at striking, he just leaned completely on his striking, 4-5 on takedown, 7 minutes, 19 seconds control time. One round one pretty decisively, round two started to fade, round three completely faded, just was grappling for his life. This is Derek Lewis versus Alexander Romanov on not as high of a scale of competition. I don't know who to go with here. You know, it's either going to be takedowns for Walter, knockouts for Junior Taffa. I would much rather get a knockout correct than I would grappling correct. So we're going to go with Junior Taffa. Like I said, love these Australian boys. There's a lot of do or dies on this card. I think Junior Taffa really needs to leave an impact here. Or much similar to someone else later on this card, he will be getting cut. With that, we get into our main card for UFC 305. And it is a banger main card. Okay, you know, I get some people are sleeping on this, but this is very good. Kicking it off. This one is just unfortunate for hardcore fight fans like myself. You have two likable guys here. All right, you have the return of the Leech, Li Jingliang, one of the most likable fighters, never got to fight with his suit on UFC 279, hasn't fought since. You also have Carlos the Nightmare Prates, who's just come onto the scene. I mean, dude got performance bonus, he was smoking a cigarette. This dude smokes cigarettes, is shredded, and fights like a maniac, okay? I mean, incredible. Li Jingliang, 19-8, the plus 190 underdog. Carlos Prates, 19-6, the minus 230 favorite. Both these guys, very talented. 6'1 to 6' in favor of Carlos Prates. 78-inch reach to 71, 7-inch reach advantage for Carlos Prates. Switch stance for Carlos, orthodox for the Leech. Let's start with Li Jingliang here, guys. 36 years old from China, of his 19 wins, 10 KOs and 4 submissions. Of his 8 losses, he's only ever been submitted twice. And he sadly has had 2 canceled bouts, one against Michael Chiesa, one against Tony Ferguson. Hasn't fought in close to 2 years where he was robbed of a split decision. I mean, other than that, He's such a fun guy. He is such a fun guy. Been around since 2014. This is year 10 in the UFC. Biggest win, probably Santiago Ponzinibbio in 2021. I mean, I don't know. Li Jingyang, just inactivity has hurt him. And he's coming back against a guy who is red hot. I mean, just he's probably the next big thing in the welterweight division. And this is a big stepping stone for him. And this will be a big test. Carlos Prates, 30 years old from Sao Paulo, Brazil. 9-fight winning streak of his 19 wins. 14 KOs and 3 submissions. 17 of 19 wins by finish. Of his 6 losses, submitted twice. Submitted 3 times, actually. KO'd twice. Now, he has not lost in 5 years. And he's finished all of his fights in those 5 years. All 9 of those fights have come in the last 5 years. So, that speaks to something. 2-0 in the UFC with 2 amazing knockouts in 2024. The Trevin Giles won in knockout of the year category. Charles Radke, that just felt good. Performance-wise, he's made 100K this year in post-fight bonuses. Carlos Prates is a killer. When it comes to technicality, look, it's going to be a striking affair. Prates holds the advantage. I'm probably going Prates by knockout. Now, the Leech has an amazing chin, so we may see it go the distance. But Carlos is just too red hot to not ride with him. After that, we go to our second fight on the main card. It is a heavyweight matchup between the number 12-ranked Jairzinho Rozenstruik and the number 10-ranked Tai Tuivasa. This is do or die for Tai Tuivasa. This is quite honestly, Tai Tuivasa has to go out on his shield, take out his sword, and swing for the fences. If he even tries to be a bit lackadaisical, I mean, they'll just cut him, even if he wins. But Tai Tuivasa, the plus 160 underdog. Jairzinho Rozenstruik, the minus 185 favorite. Tai, man, I mean, what could have been? What could have been with Tai Tuivasa? Dude, at one point, was on a 5-5 winning streak. I mean, we'll get to him in a second. But Bam Bam Tai, 15-7. Biggie Boy Jairzinho, 14-5. Both men are 6'2". 3-inch reach advantage for Biggie Boy, 78-75. Orthodox stands for Rozenstruik Southpaw for Bam Bam Tai Tuivasa. Let's start with the underdog, Tai Tuivasa. And this is your hometown boy, 31 years old from New South Wales, Australia. Of his 15 wins, 13 KOs. Now, of his 7 losses, KO'd 3 times, submitted 3 times. So, 6 of 7 losses, he's been finished. 4-fight losing streak, he's been finished in all of them. Yeah. It's rough. Was finished earlier this year in March over Marcin Tybura, the worst one yet. And at one point, you know, Tai was in fight in 2017, an undefeated prospect, beating Andrei Arlovski. Then would go on a 3-fight losing streak. Then would rally his career, 5-fight winning streak, all knockouts, wins over Stefan Struve, Greg Hardy, Derek Lewis. It was incredible. Then had a fight of the night against Ciryl Gane in Paris. Then starched by Sergey Pavlovich in under a minute. Dominated by Volkov last September, and against Marcin Tybura, was looking good on the feet, not great, but good. Gets taken down, and it's just nighty-night, got submitted, and it's not easy going for a guy with not a solid chin, not solid grappling skills. He takes on a knockout artist in Jairzinho Rozenstruik. Also has 13 KOs. The 36-year-old is from Suriname, and of his 5 losses, 2 KO losses and 1 submission losses. So both 13 KOs for both these guys. I'm predicting one of them makes it 14. All right, one of these guys is going out. Jairzinho, at one point, Jairzinho was undefeated at 10-0. And then he ran into Francis Ngannou. Bounced back against Junior Dos Santos. Then he ran into Ciryl Gane. Bounced back against Augusto Sakai. Then ran into Curtis Blaydes. Early stoppage against Alexander Volkov in 2022. Destroys Chris Daukaus in 23 seconds. Hilarious win there. Gets out grappled by Halton last summer. And most recently in March, absolutely destroyed Shamil Gaziev. 127 significant strikes to 22 in a 4-round fight for Jairzinho Rozenstruik. So, Jairzinho coming in with some momentum. I hate to say it. It's just, when it comes to who's progressing, Jairzinho is staying the same and Tai is declining, even in appearance alone. I think the Suriname man is coming in and finishing Tai, but Tai has the home crowd advantage. He needs to rally his Australian brothers and get it done. We'll be rooting for Tai, but sadly the pick will go to Jairzinho Rozenstruik. Next up, what I honestly feel is the people's co-main event here. And honestly, the co-main event and this fight right here are equally as good. We have the men's light heavyweight division, the 155 lightweights, as number 5 ranked Matheus Gamrot takes on number 11 ranked Dan Hooker. No one would fight these guys. These guys have been clamoring to get fights, And for some reason, Dan Hooker just has been unable to get a fight, but thankfully he does have one, and we get to see this one. This is a fun matchup. This is a matchup I think we've been wanting to see when we look at the top 10, and you kind of pick people like, oh, I wonder what happened if these two fought. This is kind of what this fight ends up being. Matus Gamrot, the gamer, if you will. Minus 260 favorite for the grappling man. And Dan Hooker, you know, the hangman. He's the underdog. Plus 210. Matus, 24-2 with a no contest in there. Dan Hooker, 23-12. Yeah, Matus has a damn good record. 6'5'10", does give Dan 2 inches in height, and he has 5 inches of reach. That matters a lot more than you think. Switch stance for Hooker, southpaw for Matus Gamrot. Let's start with Matus. He's the favorite. Okay, he's the favorite for a reason. His chain grappling, his pressure, his control is very talented. He's very talented, 33 years old, from Poland. I mean, hey, let's go to Poland. Let's go to Poland in January, get Jan Blachowicz and Matus Gamrot on a card, all right? Both for title shots. Of his 24 wins, 8 KOs and 5 subs, yeah, he's a decision machine. Decision machine as they come, and pretty good record in the UFC. Losses to Guram Kuladze and Benil Dariush. I think everyone agrees he should have won the Guram Kuladze fight. The Benil Dariush fight, he did lose. And he holds a win over Armin Tsarukyan, the current number one contender. Currently on a 3-fight win streak, wins over Jalen Turner, Rafael Fiziev, and Rafael Dos Anjos. Now, where we're going to point something out here is that in his run so far, okay, 9 UFC fights, very impressive, 7-2. He has been dropped an outstanding amount of times. It is at 5. Rafael Dos Anjos knocked him down. Okay, Guram Kuladze knocked him down. Jalen Turner knocked him down. Armin Tsarukyan knocked him down. Benil Dariush knocked him down. This guy gets cracked. Now, he doesn't get knocked out. He absolutely does not get knocked out, but his chin does get cracked pretty freaking hard. Pretty freaking hard. Now, 11 takedowns his last fight over Dos Anjos. Impressive. Fiziev got injured, okay? Jalen Turner, 4 takedowns. Benil Dariush took him down 4 times. Took Armin Tsarukyan down 6 times. Diego Ferreira 4 times. He's just a grappler day in, day out. He fooled us when he knocked out Scott Holtzman, but I guess Scott Holtzman can be knocked out by anyone. Absolutely fooled us there. We'll see how he does against Dan Hooker, who is the complete opposite. Striking is the name of the game for the 34-year-old from Auckland, New Zealand. Of his 23 wins, 11 KOs and 7 subs. Pretty impressive. 6 of his 12 losses have come by finish, 3 by KO, 3 by sub. You're supposed to fight Bobby Green on December 2nd. That fight fell through, but Dan Hooker, first fight since July of 2023. It's been a long time coming. He is on a 2-fight win streak. You know, not too bad. Hooker, been in the UFC since 2014, used to be a featherweight. I mean, great fights. He's fought Yair Rodriguez. He's actually knocked out Gilbert Burns in round 1, pretty crazy. Fought Edson Barbosa. His fight with Dustin Poirier is probably my top 5 favorite fights of all time. He's fought in Islam Makhachev, Arnold Allen, dude, he has fought in them all. Brought any comers that want to fight him, but Matus Gamrot, his pressure, I'm so sorry, Dan Hooker, but, you know, Matus Gamrot's pressure is just too far good for me. It's probably gonna be a grappling win for Matus, but if Dan Hooker, with his new look, with tattoos, beard, bleach blonde hair, I mean, he's got tattoos all over, they look pretty badass, I'm going to be rooting for him. This is Tai Tuivasa 2.0, where I'm picking the grappler, I'm picking the striker who I think will do better, and I'm rooting for the Australian boy, which I guess New Zealand and Australia are different countries, but I kind of grouped them together. The co-main event, title shot opportunity on the line here, as Kai Kara France, number 4 ranked flyweight, takes on the number 7 ranked Steve Ersig. Steve looking to get back to a title shot. Kai Kara France looking to redeem himself and get back to a title opportunity. So, we'll see how this one goes down in the men's flyweight division, 125. We start with the flyweights. We kind of end the nights with the flyweights. A little full circle right here. KKF, Don't Blink, takes on Steve Astro Boy Ersig. 24-11 with 1 no contest for Kai Kara France. 12-2 for Steve Ersig. 5'8 to 5'4 gives Steve 4 inches in height, but Kai Kara France, 1 inch in reach, 69-68. Orthodox stance for both of these distinguished gentlemen. distinguished gentleman, the number 4 ranked man, Kaiker France, with a plus 190 underdog stance, 31 years old from Auckland, New Zealand. Of his 24 wins, 11 KOs and 3 subs, so a lot of decisions. Of his 11 losses, been finished 6 times, 3 by sub, 3 by knockout. So was supposed to fight Manel Cape last time we were in Australia, but, you know, decided to get injured, sadly. Currently on a 2-fight losing streak, hasn't fought since June of 2023. Kaiker France is fun. He's feisty. I mean, he's had fight of the nights. He's had knockouts. He's had some pretty good performances. I mean, his Cody Garbrandt performance is one of his best. And him becoming the first man to really beat Askar Askarov, also equally impressive. You know, this is a redemption for Kaiker France. And last time we saw him, you know, a lot of people thought he beat Amir Albazi. I don't know if I really was one, but it was a close fight. His new opponent, though, is actually more hometown than he is, as Steve Ersing, the minus 230 favorite, 29 years old, is from Perth, Western Australia. He's the only man from Perth where this event is taking place. He's the official hometown guy. And of those 12 wins, 8 finishes, 2 KOs, and 6 subs. Oddly, 6 subs. Haven't really seen any grappling from him. But yeah, you know, he's never been finished of his 2 losses. And so far, you know, 3-1 in the UFC, his only loss in the last, like, 4 years is to Alexander Pantoa, who he pushed to the limit. His knockout of Matt Schnell is on the top 10 for best of the year so far. I mean, Steve Ersig, he's got some height. He's got the striking ability. At the end of the day, it's going to be unpredictable, but I got to give it to Steve Ersig. I mean, what he did against Pantoa, Roy Val didn't look that good. Moreno, it's kind of tough, you know. Moreno kept getting dropped on the feet when he lost the belt to him, but Steve Ersig looked impressive. I'm excited to see him come back, and I'll be rooting for Steve Ersig. But yet again, if Kaiker France wins, I'm not going to be upset, because I kind of like both of these guys. The main event, this one, the toughest fight to predict of the night. I mean, this is actually, the odds have just been flip-flopping. Who's the favorite? Who's the underdog? Who's the favorite? Who's the underdog? When I took my last check-in, DDP was plus 110 underdog, Sanghyo was minus 135 favorite. Okay, this is very close. Your current middleweight champion, all right, your number 11 ranked pound-for-pound man, Driscus Duplessis, takes on the number 13th ranked pound-for-pound fighter on the planet, the number one contender, actually ranked at number 2 for the UFC men's middleweight champion, the former middleweight champion who has had 12 consecutive title fights, all right, in his UFC tenure, Israel Adesanya Stylebender. I mean, come on. Come on, Adesanya is back. This is a banger main event. I'm excited. Let's get into it. DDP, Driscus Duplessis, 21-2. Adesanya, 24-3. Stellar record for both these men. 6'4-6'1 does give Adesanya height, and 80-inch reach to 76-inch reach gives Adesanya the reach advantage. Switch stance for both these guys. You know, they both mix it up with the right and left hands. And honestly, DDP is the underdog here. Everyone's counting him out as the champion. The 30-year-old from South Africa, currently on a 9-fight win streak. Very impressive. Of his 21 wins, 19 finishes, 9 KOs and 10 submissions. Of his 2 losses, been KO'd once and submitted once, but so far in the UFC, 7-0. Beautiful. And he's only ever been the distance twice. All right. And oddly enough, against Brad Tavares and most recently Sean Strickland, which I thought he won the Sean Strickland fight. I never really understood the controversy in that. And he also beat Robert Whitaker last summer. Who does that? All right. Destroyed Derek Brunson. Put on a fight of the night against Darren Till. One of the best knockouts I've seen against Trevin Giles. This dude is legit. He's your champion for a reason, man. Everyone's counting him out, but it's hard to count him out. You know, he'll be rocking the South African shorts, but he takes on the Lightning Bolt shorts. The Last Style Bender. What a cool nickname. Former men's middleweight champion, legend of the game, Adesanya. 35 years old from Auckland, New Zealand. Of his 24 wins, 16 KOs. Of those 3 MMA losses, he's only ever been finished once. That was by Alex Pereira, of course, in 2022. Adesanya, those 3 professional losses, Jan Blachowicz, Alex Pereira, Sean Strickland, 3 champions. One of them reigning, actually. So, cool stuff there. Just didn't look himself. Last fight out, just did not look himself. A year ago, Sean Strickland just outstruck him the whole fight and almost knocked him out in round one, which was crazy. And that sucks because earlier in that year, Adesanya had the knockout of the year, finishing Alex Pereira, you know, finishing his story, if you will, like Cody Rhodes. And, you know, after that, hasn't amounted to much, you know, got beat by Sean Strickland in front of a somewhat home crowd in Australia. And now he's back where it all, he lost it all. He's back where he lost it. He's looking to regain it. But guys, let me tell you something. This pick, it comes from hope. Okay, it comes from hope that Driscus Duplessis is the man. And I think he's the man. I think he's a legit guy, okay? And obviously, Adesanya has power in his hands. He is great striking. But with Driscus Duplessis, he is so wild. You know, he has potential to be caught. But, I mean, Sean Strickland couldn't catch him hard enough. Robert Whitaker couldn't catch him hard enough. I mean, no one's been able to really solve the mystery that is DDP. We've now seen how to solve the Adesanya mystery. So, if you're DDP, watch your tape, study it. This is simply to probably go against the majority, but I'm going with DDP. I'm going with Driscus Duplessis. And honestly, Adesanya has not made himself likable at all. You know, I feel like he's very entitled. He's very confident, I'll say, but with that comes cockiness too. And, you know, DDP, he's cocky, but I feel like he's more humble. You know, weird guy. They're both weird in their own rights, but DDP, we're riding with him to retain, and I think that'll just shock the world. I think DDP winning will shock the world, and plus it'll finally get him in the top 10, pound for pound. Why is the middleweight champion not in the pound for pound top 10? Makes no sense to me, but guys, those are your official predictions for UFC 305. I mean, this is going to be a banger card. I'm struggling right now. My eyes hurt. I've been itching them. I can barely breathe. My mouth is dry, mucousy. But nonetheless, we had to deliver our UFC 305 predictions. It had to be done. So next time I see you guys, I will be in Mankato. We'll have to set up a new studio. Hopefully, I can record myself before year's end. We're going to work on that. I'm going to try and find an editor or, you know, go to my journalism school at college, talk to some people. But thank you guys so much for listening. Let me know who you guys are predicting with. Have an amazing weekend. And as always, I will catch you next time on The Surprise Jab Podcast.